Hi, I'm Sadie.
I'm Devin.
Hi, I'm Mike.
I'm Darl.
Let's see, Northampton. I happen to know Northampton is, I went to grad school in Boston. So Northampton's about 114 miles.
I don't believe it's considered part of the Boston suburbs.
Boston metro area like Jamaica Plain.
It is not. It's about 2 hours away. It's its own metropolitan area. The Five Colleges is what that spot's known as.
Summer camp. Let's talk about summer camp. Where was the summer camp?
I went to a summer camp in northwestern Connecticut, but really kind of like a hippie artist colony for teens of a camp. So no, there was a pool, but really no one got pushed in it, and really no one swam in it much at all.
I have bad memories of my summer camp. I never returned. I went once when I was 10, and I did not enjoy it.
But what was the worst thing that gave you those bad memories, and you know, how are you putting it into the music? See, I'm doing NME questions now.
I suppose it wasn't long after I started learning how to play drums, so it's possible that that had something to do with.
You wanted to beat the shit out of all your memories from summer camp.
I didn't enjoy it, my couple weeks there.
I went to summer camp at Birch Hill in New Hampshire, where the Starting Line went, if you remember that band.
I didn't, as far as day camps went, I didn't have a very good experience either, but I went to like sports camps after that, because then I could go home and like not deal with people like during the, you know, at night. I didn't like the sleepaway idea. It just didn't work for me when I was younger.
Okay, so there's a great quote that's been used about this band a whole bunch of times, and I'm going to throw a pile of these at you. Music first, commercialism second. So let's talk reality. You gave up your MFA to do this.
We're making livings that are not tremendous, but enough to like survive, and we haven't had to take any weird corporate offers. In fact, we've turned down many of them. We're not going to work with anyone we feel uncomfortable working with. And
where was that moment that you knew you were getting big enough that you could give up the daytime gigs?
I don't remember any moment. It's been very gradual. It's been a gradual progression. Is there a moment?
Yeah. Today.
Yeah, right now. This interview, we just figured it out. Because you told us. We didn't even know.
I am so happy that I could bring this vision to a band.
Did we just arrive? Is that what just happened?
Let's like, we're not going to talk about like sounds typically, but you did make, I was listening to it this morning, and from track number one in my headphones, there was lots of weird, fun sounds going on there, particularly keyboard stuff. So where was like the sea change between the last album where Speedy Ortiz, the just arrived Speedy Ortiz, said, we're going to do it like this?
I think the first album, between our jobs and like how much money we had in our little cash pot, we could really afford like 4 days in the studio. So we did it all in that amount of time. And this album, you know, band is our job, and we have not a ton of money, but enough to pay for like, we did 3 weeks in the studio.
That's actually a great segue. Oh, you want to add to that first?
There's some piano and keyboards on Sports EP and Major Arcana, just not as much as on the new one.
So here, look, great segue. You had 4 days for the first one. You had 3 weeks for this one. So is that like going on like a European tour for the rest of your life? Like, how did you prep knowing you actually, did you do a lot of demos? Did you do a lot of stuff? Or did you still use the same methodology and then just have lots of time to make interesting stuff?
I think there was less prep work this time. I had all the songs written and we worked on them all together, but we didn't really play them live or tour on them before we recorded. The first album, we'd like toured all those songs for, you know, almost a year before we recorded them. So they very much sound like a live recording and how we would play them live. These songs, we wanted to have a discrepancy between whatever we played live and whatever we did in the studio. So we kind of made sure not to overplay them so we wouldn't get stuck in any particular way. And we kind of just let, you know, we hung out in the studio and we saw what happened and we liked what we saw.
The balance between being a band with a political agenda and a band that can pull politics through the music. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think we all have different opinions on that. But as the lyricist, like, you know, that's a lot of what I'm writing about. So I'm obviously going to be the one that brings that up more than the rest of my bandmates, since, you know, their contributions are more on the musical and arrangement side. But if I'm writing about these things in songs, and then I have a chance to talk about it in however many cities you just mentioned this is syndicated in, like, obviously that's more exciting to me in an interview than, you know, like, when people ask about, so is that a real breakup story? Like, you know.
Okay. So, Sophie, is that a real breakup? No. So use the platform, all kidding aside.
Basically some people posing as people in the medical industry taped some secret videos with Planned Parenthood that they edited heavily so that it looks as though certain doctors at Planned Parenthood are profiting from selling fetal tissue to research centers, which is totally an editing and a fabrication and not at all what Planned Parenthood is about. And abortion is a pretty small percentage of what they actually even work on. But we got a number of certain nutbags who are elected officials and Republicans in our country right now, and they're trying to defund Planned Parenthood, which provides so many important services to women, like cancer screening and vaccinations, birth control. So basically they're trying to eliminate Planned Parenthood, and something that is really important for everyone to do right now is to donate to Planned Parenthood, even if it's a tiny amount, because the more amount of individual donators they can prove that they have is a testament to the public support that they already have and can be used in further defenses, since, you know, the vote to defund them didn't pass last week, but people are still trying. So my current issue of the week is everyone should donate to Planned Parenthood.
Okay, ready? This is the freeform edition. I'm going to hand you each the microphone, and I want you to ask him a question, and I want you to ask her a question. Ready?
Why?
Well, why? Why? You know, I've heard a lot of people ask that question, and I've heard why not. I've heard because.
Devin, what do you look for in a sneaker?
General redness. As you can see, or I guess this is a radio show, so you can't see, but a lot of red, comfort. I lack arch support, so I need that.
Do you ever sit back and really think about what you're doing and what this is?
I think we're kind of like, we are probably going to go back to playing basements next year, so let's have fun and show up on time while we're still asked to, and if we're playing like basements in tiny, tiny clubs next year, like, still cool.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.